Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's still real to me, damn it.
All right, welcome. Another edition of It's Still Real to Me as we come at you on a late Saturday afternoon, Sunday evening, as we have an Elimination Chamber reaction show. And of course, everything Zaslow Show 2.0, including It's Still Real to Me, is brought to us by the title sponsor of everything Zaslow Show 2.0, Anna Jar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-3, 800-747-3733. If you're involved in any kind of an accident, hit and run, motorcycle, slip and fall, boating, it wasn't your fault, you get the compensation you deserve when you call Anna Jar and Levine. Let them put their skills to work for you. 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. So glad to have you guys aboard with us here on a Sunday night, as yesterday morning, at least if we're East Coast time, man, if you were West Coast time, like, our pal is Joey Levin, of course, joining us here. And can you imagine? So, you know, for instance, they had the pre-show, which was Sam Roberts and my pal Peter Rosenberg, and that started 4:30 Eastern time. So you got to figure they're getting to the studio. You got to do hair, makeup, although neither of them have hair, but you know, the female host, she's got hair. You got to do hair and makeup and all that. You're talking about the three of them. They're probably in the studio, what, 3 a.m.? Getting ready to do, I guess, until what time did it end? Like around 11 a.m.? Well, no, not 11. Probably around 10 a.m.? That's a wild day.
It ended probably around 8:30.
But that's a crazy day, yeah. You know, with time.
Nine-ish, yeah.
And how about the people in the West Coast where if they're going to watch it, I guess you don't go to sleep yet the night before. They're at that's 2 a.m. start time.
Well, I was going to say, as a fan, I would almost rather be on the West Coast because I'm much more likely to just be up at 2 a.m. on a Friday night than wake up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning to watch wrestling. Like, I would, you know, have a few drinks, hang out. Maybe I'll go out, come home at 2 a.m. and watch it. You know, like, you know, there's a much better chance of me staying up late on a Friday than waking up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday to watch. So I'd almost rather be a fan on the West Coast.
So both of us, all right, I assume you got up right at the start time of 5 a.m., right?
Not a little bit after. A little bit after.
Okay.
I tried to. I did set an alarm, and I woke up. I probably started around 5:30, though. I wasn't super
okay.
Late. Yeah.
Okay. So both of us were up early in the morning, not exactly live, but we were both up early in the morning watching Elimination Chamber. And look, I'll just tell you right off the bat, my first thought, that was a fantastic show. That was a great, great show. And sometimes the obvious choice for the winners are still the best choice. And I think this is probably one of those types of shows. So a lot to go over here. We're going to talk Elimination Chamber to get your reaction. We're going to talk about what it means for WrestleMania moving forward. If any of you guys, if you're listening on the podcast, love that, appreciate you. But you're listening in the future. If you're watching on the live stream right now, we love you long time. You could participate. You could comment. You could ask questions. You could be part of the show. And for everybody, whether you're watching live on Twitter, on Facebook, or hopefully on the YouTube channel, and certainly if you're listening on the podcast, make sure you're subscribed on the YouTube channel, Zaslow Show 2.0. so you can get the notification for all of our live streams of It's Still Real to Me. And make sure you're not just subscribed to the channel, but you click on where it says subscribe, and then you turn the bell on where you get then the notifications every time that we go live. That's really important. You want to make sure you do that. So you're subscribing to Zaslow Show 2.0. You're getting the notifications for It's Still Real to Me. We got a reaction show here. We're going to say what it means as far as WrestleMania goes. And we're actually going to take a look at AEW Revolution, which is next weekend. And of course, if you're looking to get in on the action, Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your wagering needs, up to the minute odds, stats, trends. You can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today. Become part of the team. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So we had a total of five matches, right? Yeah, you had two tag team matches, two chamber matches.
Well, there's a tag match on the pre-show. There's really four matches on the main card.
Okay, yeah, so five total, which was the kickoff show. That was the Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae, Kabuki Warriors match, right? They wanted to make sure they got all their Australians featured on the show. So you had Indy Hartwell there, who I love, by the way. But you had Indy Hartwell there. You also had an addition of Grayson Waller effect because he's Australian. And you had in the main event, until we knew it, did you know that the Women's World Championship was going to be the main event?
Yeah, I think they announced it early that morning on someone. It was out. Okay. It was out there on Twitter. I don't know if they officially announced it. I think they did. Although I watched the press conference the day before, and I think maybe even Triple H said it or Michael Cole, one of them. By the way, the press conference, I thought it was a good show. I'll tell you, I thought it was a good show. I think your point that like we'll get to, predictable but good show. I think the press conference, they need to keep doing this shit, especially when they go to places like the press conference was cool, man.
Yeah, and people were way into it, man.
There was thousands of people there. I mean, it was packed. The crowd was into it. It got me hyped. There was a couple times where I got like goosebumps with the crowd's reactions to some of these guys. It was really, that was really maybe the coolest part to me.
It's such big business. It's so cool. So let's get out. Let's get the two tag team championship matches out of the way for everybody here. You know, the first one, Kabuki Warriors, they retain. I didn't see that match though. Did they do an angle with Dakota Kai? Did something happen with Dakota Kai there?
I don't know. I honestly did not.
Because I thought I saw highlights of her like being helped to the locker room. Maybe she was attacked.
Well, her and Bailey are fighting the Kabuki Warriors this week.
Okay, I didn't know that. All
yeah,
right.
I guess maybe that is part of it. And let me confirm that wasn't like a fake Twitter thing, but I saw that when I looked at it this week. That's going to be like her in-ring return. Yeah, here we go.
Oh, good. Okay.
Dakota Kai's in-ring return announced for next week. Yeah, Dakota and Bayley versus the Kabuki Warriors.
All right, well, we know Dakota Kai. You know,
looks like non-title. Looks like non-title.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they don't deserve a title shot. We know, be it Tegan Knox or Raquel Rodriguez, you know, Dakota Kai's move is turning on her opponent. All right. Mm. And her partner. And we have to figure that's what we're getting here. We're getting the reveal that Dakota Kai is working with Kabuki Warriors, and that's going to put even more heat on them leading into WrestleMania. I mean, I really would be stunned if that's not the direction that we're going in. Right.
Yeah, right. It looks like she was attacked on SmackDown backstage.
Okay.
That's what sets us up. Okay. Which I didn't watch either because it was pre-taped. I knew nothing was going to happen.
I actually did watch SmackDown the night before. But then, so the other tag team match, you had Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne against the tag team champions, Damian Priest and Finn Balor. The right team won there, obviously, because we want to get to a place where we hope that we're getting R-Truth and Miz to take the belts off of them at WrestleMania. So
yeah,
that's
the only issue I have with this is, well, first of all, let's just point out, how about that Dom, even in Australia, incredible. I mean, the heat that he generates, it's incredible. But the fact that Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate now actually have a tag team name is a little disappointing to me. they're called.
Because you want Pete Dunne to be solo.
I think everybody wants Pete Dunne to be solo. I don't think they wanted him just right back into a tag team that has a name. Now, that doesn't mean anything. Like, Y2AJ, remember them? They were around for a day, I think. And they had shirts. They had shirts, and they were around for like a day or a week. But yeah, I think everybody, when the Pete Dunne thing happened and he came back as Pete Dunne, it was like, all right, cool. We're going to get Pete Dunne. And now he's in a tag team with Tyler Bate. Nothing against Tyler Bate. He's also really good. But it's like, you know, we talked about maybe he gets Gunther. Maybe they go into that. But I guess he's going to be in a tag team for a while. And by the way, New Catch Republic sounds like something Regal, who's back in WWE, probably gave them. Blackpool Combat Club, New Catch Republic sounds very William Regal-ish.
So let's get to the big matches here, and then we'll close it, the reaction to the show with the Women's World Championship. So the night starts out with, or the morning for us, starts out with the Women's Elimination Chamber match. So the first thing that we got to get to here, number one, Raquel Rodriguez was almost a no-go. Like, you've seen what's been going on with her, right? She's going through some type of, like, stem cell treatment where she's like, she's been really sick. It's why she missed a lot of time. And she even released a video recently with a lot of behind the scenes footage where she's been in really rough shape. And apparently she had a flare up because she looked a lot different from when we saw her return and qualify for the match a week ago to what she looked like. Zero makeup. Her face was a little bit swollen at Elimination Chamber. So she was going through some type of flare-up again. Good on her for being able to perform. She had a really good performance. But, man, I feel bad for her because she's in some kind of rough way and was still able to go through everything. But the first thing I think that we got to discuss as far as the women's match there, Tiffany Stratton is a massive star already. She didn't win the match. She came out smelling like roses. I don't think anyone, maybe including Becky Lynch, was a bigger winner in that match than Tiffany Stratton was.
100%. This is why I love these shows like Australia, UK, because that match, look, it is what it is. I guess this is just how US fans are, right? That match had five women that WWE has spent tons of time and tons of effort and money, seemingly, on telling you, the fan, you should like these people. You should like these people. And then they go to Australia and they don't care. They just like who's the best. And the best, I told you ahead of this, Tiffany Stratton was going to steal the show in that match.
Because you are not supposed to like her. She is not supposed to be likable at all.
But she's so, so good. She's so good. And her character is good. She's super hot. And she can go in the ring. She's got it all. I mean, she really does. I mean,
I think she's whether like, you like 24 her character, years old.
Yeah. I mean, whether you like the character, you know, the idea is that you're supposed to be annoyed and she's an annoying character, but she plays it so well. You're like, yeah, she's the real deal. And then the stuff she pulls off in the ring, I mean, she truly is incredible. There's never, I mean, I think they said it, you know, Corey Graves mentioned it. And I watched some other reaction shows and everyone's saying the same thing. Like, you couldn't have told me in a million years that Liv Morgan would pin Tiffany Stratton and get booed.
Yep.
She got booed. And then in the title match, or was it in the titles match or was it the men's chamber match? One of the later matches, they were still chanting for Tiffany Stratton. They were They were still chanting Tiffy time later in the show.
Yeah. I wish they didn't change her music. I love her NXT theme. I don't know why. Why do they do that?
I honestly, I don't remember her NXT theme, so it didn't really make... I know everybody was saying that, but this has been a big thing on wrestling Twitter lately is that WWE's entrance music, for most, obviously there's still some like Cody and Seth and Bloodline, but like... that everybody's just sort of like generic and not great. There's a lot of wrestlers coming out now where you hear the music and you're like, I don't know who this is until they come out, which shouldn't be the case. Right.
Yeah.
I think like people were complaining about DIY's music. Yeah. There's like you should know as soon as the music hits, who's coming out. And people are complaining a lot that like, that's, if you have to have a knock on WWE, I guess that's the knock, but there's a lot of like generic wrestling music going on.
I love her, man. From the moment she got in the match, her pod opens up. She's excited. Normally, especially if you're a heel, you're not excited in that spot. She was excited because it's Tiffy time. She's in the match. She's, you know, going through her array of moves there on all the women who are in the match. Did you notice, was this the first? Yeah.
I was going to say, and speaking of, like, we always talk about when you're put in, like, WWE doesn't put people in moments by accident. Like, they do these things for a reason. At the press conference for the women's match, you had Bianca, you had Tiffany Stratton and Becky Lynch. Those were the three, right? So you had Bianca come out, and then you had Tiffany Stratton come out and confront her, and then you had Becky Lynch come out and confront her, and Tiffany Stratton walks off. But there's a reason Tiffany Stratton gets put first. Well, there's two reasons. One, she's the only heel in the match. But two, also, they obviously believe in her to be in a spot with the two of the biggest stars in the company on the women's side.
Yep. She was the absolute big winner, a major star. Crowd was chanting for. They were pissed when she got eliminated. They booed Liv Morgan when Liv Morgan pinned her. She comes out a huge, huge star. Naomi was the first to be eliminated. Raquel Rodriguez was eliminated somewhere in the middle there.
Part of me feels bad for Naomi. It's like,
why?
I mean, it's great that she's in the match, but she comes back and she goes away. She comes somewhat of like an indie darling star champion in TNA, comes back, gets into the chamber, first one eliminated.
I saw other people saying the same thing, and that's bullshit.
I don't care about the booking. It's like, you know, it's more of the same, whatever.
I saw people say that, and that's bullshit. She returned to a massive spot in the Royal Rumble, and then she was one of only six women who are in the Elimination Chamber. That's bullshit.
I didn't even read that. I didn't even see a lot of people saying that. I just, people in my mind, as soon as I saw her get pinned, I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, I anticipated a lot of people complaining because that's what people do on the internet. But
she had the great spot where she came off the cage and did the split on one of the girls. I forget who she did to, but that was a really cool spot.
Look, people aren't going to like this. She doesn't have a great personality. Like, on the mic, she's not good on the mic. So she's never going to be a massive. Her personality's fine, I'm sure. But her mic skills have never been great. So it's going to be tough for her to ever ascend, I think, past what she is, which is a really good wrestler. But, you know, I think people want her to be a star, and she's, you know, she's at the upper tier of the next level down in the women's division. Yeah, right.
I agree. Totally agree. So then we get to the final three.
By the way, sorry. Raquel has MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome. Is a condition where patients experience repeated episodes of symptoms of anaphylaxis. So, like, allergic symptoms, hives, swelling, low blood pressure, etc.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And did you see the video that she posted?
Mm-mm.
Oh, dude, it's rough. Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah. No, but she did look different. And I had a feeling it was because of whatever was going on. But I'll tell you, I mean, she seemed okay in the match. I mean, they gave her some big moments.
Yeah. She seemed okay. Strong. But no makeup. Her face is a little bit swollen.
They got to turn her heel, man. She needs to be a heel. They got to turn her heel. I agree. She smiles too much for the powerhouse.
I agree. Final sequence was really cool, though, where you get Liv Morgan winds up pinning Bianca with the roll-up and then immediately walks into a manhandle slam, and Becky ends the match. And I thought for a moment that we were about to get a Bianca heel turn because it looked like she was like on the verge of freaking out, you know, that she lost there. So I thought we were about to get it. We obviously didn't. It was Becky Lynch's moment. I thought the match was great, and the right girl won.
Manhandle slam. Most underwhelming finisher in wrestling?
You think so?
I mean, it's just a pump handle slam. It's not like a great finisher. It doesn't even seem that impactful. It's like she's just dropping them.
It's like the rock bottom. It's like the rock bottom.
But then ultimately his finisher became the people's elbow.
Mm-hmm.
So, which also not, but it's at least electrifying. You know,
was there ever a moment in the match that you did not think Becky Lynch was winning? Me neither.
In my heart of hearts, there was a big part of me that I wanted Liv to win because personally, and I know we'll talk about this a ton, with the four matches that are announced and the four or five that we are anticipating happening, Rhea Becky is probably the one I'm least looking forward to and one of the most underwhelming matches in a long time.
Really?
And which we'll probably get into that. We'll get into that more when we talk about Rhea and what's next there. But it just doesn't... I know why they did it, because as we've talked about, WrestleMania 40, big star, this and that. There's no story. It's just Becky won and she's in the match. Everything else has a great story right now.
Well, there's a story. She had the big promo with Rhea that she doesn't believe she could beat her, but she has to beat her.
Yeah, but there's no like, okay, but she could have said that for any champion. I just mean like every other, even the ones that haven't been announced
yet. We're 6 weeks away. We got 6 weeks.
We'll talk about it when we get to Rhea, because there's more on the, it's just like a whole culmination of Rhea's last year or so that has made even this part of it a little underwhelming to me. Not that it's going to be bad. It's going to be a good match and Rhea's great, but it's just everything else. It's probably a product of how good WWE is right now. It's partially what it is that there's so many good stories that when a story like this, that's like kind of thrown together a little like whatever, like we always talk about this. Is there any part of you in a million years that thinks Rhea's losing to Becky? No. Right?
No.
And I would love,
but I'll tell you what, Joey, I'll tell you what, a lot of people watching or listening to us right now completely disagree with what you and I both said. That, I mean, I think the majority of people out there think Becky's going to win. She's not.
Why? Why would they think?
Because she's Becky Lynch.
Oh, well, then that's casual fans. I think
because she's not going to win. She is not going to beat Rhea.
Hey, everyone in the chat, who do you think is going to win that match? Because I'd be interesting to see what the people think. Because I think anyone who's listening to a wrestling podcast, I think, knows what the deal is.
Rhea's going to win that match.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Hey, by the way, Big Nick agrees with me right here. Manhandle slam.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I don't have an issue with it.
There's no problem with it as a move. As a finisher, a little underwhelming.
I want to hear then also in the chat, you can also chime in. Is there a worse finisher than manhandle slam? Because I don't think it's bad. I think there's plenty worse finishers.
Randy said when Liv rolled up Bianca, I almost threw up my laptop. What?
He wanted Bianca to win.
He wanted Bianca. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
there was not a moment in the match that I always, when I watch these matches, I try and get myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Randy's saying Rhea should win. Randy, who do you think is going to win? We don't want to know who should win. We want to know who you think is
going to
win.
Yeah, I mean, Rhea should, and she's going to. Right. But every time I watch a match, I try and consider, can this person win? Can this person win? And not for a single second did I think anyone was winning that match but Becky.
I think, and I said this when we were talking about it last week, if it was any other WrestleMania other than 40, right? And I'll say this in 10 years when we're doing this show at WrestleMania 50. If it was anything other than 40, I would say Liv Morgan had a really good shot to win that match. Because there's a history and there's a story. And actually, I think that is probably what they do with Rhea after WrestleMania.
Yeah, like that's another reason. That's another identifier that Rhea's not losing, because we are going to get Rhea versus Liv.
Right. So any other year, but this year, because it's WrestleMania 40, it had to be Becky or Bianca, really. Because like Becky is Becky Lynch, and then Bianca is, they've obviously positioned her as like the face of WWE women's wrestling with the show, and she's at every press conference and every. So I actually wouldn't have been shocked if Bianca won. It probably would have been more underwhelming than Becky, because we've seen this. You know, we've seen the Bianca Rhea thing. Not that you can't revisit it, but yes, there was no part of me that thought Becky wouldn't win, and there's no part of me in a million years that thinks Becky's winning at WrestleMania. I just don't. And I will tell you this: I'm going to say this right now, right here, and it's still real to me.
Go on.
If Rhea loses at WrestleMania,
you're done with WWE. You're not
worst women's title reign of all time.
Come on. What are you talking about?
Can I read you something? And because I've done this before, but let me read you this. Okay.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley, since winning the title last year, so we're a year ago at WrestleMania, has had 10 title defenses, 10 on TV. Three of them have been against Natalia. Okay. Two of them have been against Raquel Rodriguez. One against Zelina Vega, one against Zoe Stark, one against Ivy Nile, won in a fatal five-way against a combination of those women and then Nia Jax. She has not had a real feud. She has not had a real story. She hasn't even fought anybody that actually is at the
top. Well, the Nia Jax was a real feud. That was a real feud.
But she hasn't. And I know they're trying to set her up as the most dominant champion, but that doesn't mean you don't have to fight anybody.
It's happening now because you're going to get it with Becky, right. And then I think we're going to get right. It with Liv.
That's fair. Judgment Day has sort of held her back in terms of the title reign because there's been so much focus on her being the leader of Judgment Day or whatever that her title reign has been underwhelming to me. Incredibly underwhelming. If she loses to Becky, this has got to be the crowning moment of her title reign.
She's not losing to Becky.
Right, that's what I'm saying. She needs more. And I think that's where they're headed.
Although, like you're saying, this should be her crowning moment. You can make the case that Saturday was her crowning moment. That was a pretty big fucking deal. She won that match, her family, Australia, big babyface reaction.
Certainly, for different reason. I mean, look, mm-hmm. You know, Zelina Vega had the same reaction in Puerto Rico.
And I said that moment right there for Zelina Vega is so much bigger than if she were to win a title at WrestleMania. So much bigger.
I agree. And to your point, yes, Saturday was probably her moment because at WrestleMania, it's good. By the way, it's going to be underwhelming at WrestleMania. They're not the main event. They're going to be in the middle of the card. She's going to win. It's going to be a nice moment, but it's not going to be that great. So this probably was her biggest moment. But the other thing is this, like, right? So that's who she's fought. And we talk about how Io doesn't defend the title all that much, right?
Oh, my God. Io doesn't fight anybody.
Okay. Since Io won in September, her title, she's had 6 TV title yeah. defenses against... Oh, went away. Zelina also. Asuka and Charlotte in a triple threat. Charlotte, Bianca Belair, and Mia Yim. So she's had 6 title defenses, and most of them have been against the top of the top.
Better opponents, yep.
It's just been the last few months as they have set up this thing with Charlotte that Io hasn't been fighting that much. With Bayley. But... that is what I'm saying. I get it. I get what everybody loves about Rhea. Her title reign has just been underwhelming to me in terms of the actual title. So to me, that's the reason why there's no chance she loses to Becky. She can't.
Well, since we got a momentum going here, as we're doing these matches, let's talk about the participants and what it means for them for WrestleMania. So okay. We know what we're doing then for Rhea. And what's going to happen with Tiffany Stratton? Now, we need for WrestleMania, you probably need at least 12 or so total matches, right? Probably 6 a night is what you're looking at, right? So you probably need a total of like 12 matches. Do we get some type of, like, what do we do with Tiffany Stratton here? Are we doing kind of a deal where,
I think Bianca.
Yeah? So then we're jumping off of a Bianca-Jade tandem here. Because you have to feature Jade in some fashion at WrestleMania.
Well, the last segment that they did with all of the women, I think it was on SmackDown, where they had all the women come out.
Oh, Tiffany smacked her, which, by the way, was right. A funny spot.
Right, but Tiffany came out, and then Bianca came out. And then at the press conference, Bianca came out, and then Tiffany interrupted her. And then they had a little thing in the match. You could do it. I don't know if you're going to give Tiffany a singles match at Mania yet, but if you're going to...
It's not like she can't handle it.
Of course. Oh, no, she can handle it. I mean, we were talking about, like, you can't give it to Jade, of course. But, like, Tiffany, it would make sense if you already want to give her a Mania match. But I wouldn't be like...
Is there anyone that
if she's not on the card, I wouldn't be mad if she's not on Mania. She just got to the main roster.
Oh, I would. Like, you got to go with the big stars. I know she just got there, but she's still a big star. Is there somebody that Tiffany can team with to fight Jade and Bianca?
Chelsea Green.
No, she's got a partner.
I know, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Liv turns heel. I don't know. Tiffany Stratton has such a unique character. I don't know who would get who in the WWE, other than maybe like a Chelsea Green type, would get along with Tiffany Stratton's character. She's just such a a heel.
No one is supposed to like her.
Like, even the heel of the heelist heel would be like annoyed by her. Like, that's the whole character. So I don't know who you would get and who would she want to? She thinks her whole character is she's just so much better than everybody.
All right. So in some fashion, though, we believe that we're getting something with Bianca and Tiffany.
Gio said Charlotte and Tiffany versus Bianca and Jade. That could be
And then eventually you get Charlotte and Tiffany to turn on each other. But see, I think when Charlotte returns, number one, she's not going to be ready for WrestleMania. But I think when Charlotte returns, I think she's unimpressed with Tiffany Stratton. I think everybody sees the similarities, although Tiffany is quite bigger. But I think Charlotte is unimpressed.
You mean like muscular?
Physically, yeah. Physically,
Charlotte's pretty big. Charlotte's huge.
Yeah, well, Charlotte looks... Yes, Charlotte screams athleticism. And when I look at Tiffany, like Tiffany almost looks like a bodybuilder. She is.
Yeah, she's Jack.
She is big. I think Charlotte looks at Tiffany Stratton as like, yeah, you wish you could be me. I don't think they're going to be friends.
Is Tiffany Stratton, is she on Raw or is she SmackDown?
She's on the show with Bianca. Yeah, she's on Raw. She's on Raw.
Well, then that also determines who, I mean, where, what direction they go with her, because it'll probably be somebody from Raw.
Yeah, she's on Raw. Otherwise, Randy, the other
says
women...
Randy says SmackDown, so maybe we're wrong about that.
The other women in the match, though, there's no real clear, you know, idea or direction for them for WrestleMania. But, you know, we're looking at the big pieces anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, the problem is like there's only three titles for the women, and every title is going to get defended at Mania. So there's only so many matches you could do if there's not a title on the line with the women, unfortunately, unless they're big stars.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown. She's on SmackDown.
All right. There you go.
So it could be Charlotte.
All right. So, well, no, she's not going to be ready. She's out for WrestleMania. She's not ready.
Tag match.
So let's look at the men's.
Oh, Carmella. That's a good one. Returning Carmella. They could be interesting together.
I could see Carmella being friends with her.
Right. That's what I mean. Tag match. Returning
I could
Carmella
see
as
them
a tag.
Being, I could see them being friends. Yeah.
Big Nick.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah. I could see Carmella and Tiffany Stratton being friends.
Save big money on plant protection supplies now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready-to-spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
So let's look at the men's match here. And again, the right guy won it. All right. Cause he's also going to take the title off Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. But I will tell you, there was a moment I thought Randy Orton was going to win when we were at the, oh, I did. When we were at the very end, when we were at the very end and Orton was on his hands and knees, like his back's bothering him. What a great sell the entire match. He's on his hands and knees. And Drew is like, this guy's pathetic. You knew Randy was jumping up and landing an RKO on him. And I said to my son, Troy, I go, oh my God, Jordan, Randy Orton's going to win. Like as he was on his hands and knees, I said, Orton's going to win. And then he jumps up and he gives him the RKO, but he obviously cannot cover him in enough time. And Drew Mack, and then you get AJ Styles who comes, like AJ Styles came in after that, right?
No, AJ was before that.
It was before that. That was all done before that?
Yeah, because then...
And he eliminated LA Knight?
Yeah, he eliminated LA Knight. Then Randy Orton...
Oh, because Drew covered him. Drew kind of wandered over, threw his arm over LA Knight and pinned him there.
Right.
Randy couldn't get the cover in time, if I'm remembering correctly.
No, Logan Paul hit him with the brass knuckles.
That's right. Logan Paul, because Randy couldn't get the cover in time.
Right.
Logan Paul came in. Hit him with the brass knuckles, which I don't think anybody had. I thought Orton was going to win. And I thought we were getting Orton versus Rollins at WrestleMania. I did. I thought we were getting it. And
that would have been a rough reaction, I think.
And then Drew pins him. And the right guy winds up winning. I thought the men's elimination chamber was also fantastic. I thought it was great. You got the two pods were destroyed. With Logan Paul going through one. Who went through the other? Who'd Bobby Lashley put through the other one?
Was it KO? I don't remember.
I was disappointed with KO showing.
Really?
I was a little bummed.
I thought he was fucking awesome. I thought.
No, but I mean, I'm disappointed with the way he was eliminated. I thought we were going to get like a culmination between Paul and KO, and we really didn't.
I saw another guy saying this, and I thought the same thing while I was watching it. I thought KO, he obviously there's no chance he's winning, and he knows that he's not winning. So I think he probably went to Triple H or whoever booked the match and said, let me just be a fucking psychopath. Let me just go nuts in this match and just do crazy shit. And he was crazy, and it was very entertaining. When he started headbutting the pod when Logan Paul was out there, I was like, this is insane. That was awesome. The elimination, whatever, but I thought his performance in it was really cool.
I didn't like how he got eliminated.
Yeah, but I will say, I mean, I think outside of Bobby Lashley, who in all likelihood is not going to be on Mania, I think we pretty much see now what everybody else is in that match is doing for Mania, right? I mean, it's going to be a triple threat for the U.S. title, at least a triple threat.
Okay, so hold on. So we think we're getting... We know it's Logan Paul and Randy Orton, but you think KO is going to be in that?
100%. 100%. Okay. And would not shock me if LA Knight and AJ Styles are also in that match. I wouldn't be shocked if there's like a ladder match or something for the U.S. title.
And I think we're getting LA Knight, AJ, so, you know, singles match. But throwing them in that would not be bad. And then making it a ladder match.
By the way, I think the last time we had a U.S. title ladder match on Mania was when Zack Ryder won it. I think
won the Intercontinental. That was Intercontinental.
Was it Intercontinental?
Yeah, because then The Miz won it from him the next night on Raw.
Oh, right. But that was awesome when he won it. Yeah, it was Mania. Awesome. That was really cool. I mean, I think at a minimum it's a triple threat. If not, then KO is not on Mania. So, I think there's still a lot there, and I think also KO and Orton had some back and forth stuff. So I think there's enough there. KO.
And we're definitely getting LA Knight and AJ Styles, obviously. Where does it lead of us?
Which doesn't necessarily have to be on Mania, right? Like that could just be a big SmackDown match, and or like the night before Mania on SmackDown. But
meaning
then
they're
also,
in a five way,
and then they can be also in the U.S. title match. It doesn't have to be a five way. Those LA and AJ are gonna fight, and the other three are gonna fight. Just part of it to me seems like maybe they all just fight each other in like a ladder match or something.
Drew McIntyre gets the shot finally at Seth Rollins. We both agree Drew's winning that title. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think it'll be partially because Seth Rollins is going to re-aggravate his knee in the tag match on night one.
Well,
announced. That has not been announced, but that's my prediction.
Well, and also they're furthering the Drew is a hypocrite storyline where he won the chamber because he got help essentially from Logan Paul. Are they going to have him win the title because he gets help?
No. Well, I think the help. Well, that if nothing happens on night one, then maybe. But the way I see it playing out as of right now is we actually do get the Cody, Seth, Rock, Roman night one tag match. And then Seth reaggravates the knee, and that helps Drew win on night two.
Okay, I don't think we're getting that. I don't think we're getting that. I'll tell you where I think we're going in a second here. I want to tell you guys about another huge pro wrestling fan who obviously cannot wait for WrestleMania. Co-founder, chairman of BRCW, Boca Raton Championship Wrestling. He is your trusted real estate broker and one of our great sponsors here on It's Still Real to Me. I'm talking about Matthew H. Mashler and Signature Real Estate Finder. If you're looking for your dream home in any part of beautiful South Florida, look no further than Matthew H. Mashler, your trusted real estate broker. You can call him today, 561-208-3334, 561-208-3334, or go to realestatefinder.com. Wherever you're looking to buy a home here in South Florida, maybe you're just looking to sell one of your current properties. Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334. Hey, if you're already in the business, you're looking to take your real estate career to the next level, you can join the Signature team. The Signature Real Estate Companies are South Florida's industry leaders, ranked number one in all of Boca Raton. Offices all throughout Florida, Delray, Coral Springs, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Naples, Palm Beach, Orlando. The Signature team is where you want to be. So you could be buying your dream home, you could be selling one of your properties, or you're just looking to join the best in the business. Contact Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334, realestatefinder.com. Matthew H. Mashler, your pathway to exceptional real estate experiences. So, based on the Grayson Waller effect, I do not believe that we're getting a tag match the night before, night one of WrestleMania, of Rock Roman versus Rollins and Cody. I think it's so risky to do that, that you're putting four participants, three of which have to then fight the very next night in with the highest of stakes. I think it's a major gamble. I think it could be an all-time blunder if things don't go well. I think we're getting Cody versus Roman, obviously, night two. I think we're going to get Cody versus Rock night one.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I think we're getting Cody versus Rock.
Yeah, I think, and there's a lot of speculation that Cody and Rock are actually in cahoots here, and that the Rock's going to turn on Roman at some point. That the conversation that they had was actually the, because when, remember Cody said, when he came out for his promo before he gave up his spot, he said, I don't just want a title. I want to take everything from you.
Yeah.
There's like speculation that maybe that's what he was talking to the Rock about, was how do we take everything?
I'm gonna take your family from you also.
Yeah. Something like that. It's a good point. Like that.
I think the way they set it up, I think we're getting Cody Rock night one. I think they trust Cody to be healthy, get through both matches. I think it's Cody Rock night one, Cody Roman night two.
I tell you, if Rollins wasn't coming off injury, I think I would feel fine with it. But I think the biggest risk is that he's coming off of a pretty major injury. To have him fight two matches is tough. And let's not forget, the last time Rock fought a match, he like exploded his internal organs or something. Like he ripped.
Yeah,
his
like
abs,
I think you put him
the
in there. You put him in there with Cody. You trust Cody. You could carry the match easy. You know, I think we're getting Cody Rock. And also, let's be honest here, Cody Rock is a monster.
And also, you're right, the problem with the tag match is that the people that would have to carry it are fighting on night two. Cody and Roman would have to carry the tag match. You can't have Rock carrying it. So then you'd have them just fight again the next night. Yeah.
Cody Rock is a monster of a match. And we eventually do. Maybe it's SummerSlam. We are eventually going to get Rock versus Roman. 1,000%.
Can I tell you what else we're going to get? I'm going to point something out that's happening tonight, by the way. We're going to get Seth Rock. And Seth is going to be like Triple H's proxy. And I don't think there's a coincidence. I mean, it is probably a coincidence because this was filmed how long ago? Tonight, the premiere of the A&E WWE series Rivals.
Yeah.
Rock Triple H.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. And,
oh, that's a good nugget right there.
And Rock Triple H, backstage stuff, Rock Triple H coming out, calling out The Rock, thinks he has power. Triple H can't fight. We know he can't fight. But who represents what Triple H represents to this industry in the company right now, to this company? It's Seth Rollins, the protector, the guy who has been there through all of it. He's never left. He's the guy. So I think at some point you can do like Triple H. You know, Seth Rollins is like the Triple H figure. You know, Triple H and Rock have been feuding for 30 years. Seth's gonna finish the fight for him, something like that.
That's a good nugget right there. Okay.
8 o'clock tonight. A&E, I think 8 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
But yeah, so that'll be good. Yeah.
Finally, the women's championship match. It's a pretty awesome run Nia Jax has had since she returned, man. Like, she looks great. She moves a lot better in the ring, and she just made events.
There's still some moves where I get very nervous. There was a couple moves. I don't remember them off the top of my head, but there were a couple times in that match where I was like, man, I hope she didn't just seriously injure Rhea Ripley. Uh-huh. But maybe I just have like PTSD of her injuring everyone else, that I think she's always going to hurt somebody. But there are some moves where I'm like, oh, that looks rough. But
I mean, she just main evented a stadium show. You know,
I know, that's crazy.
She's having a fantastic run, and look, overall, Rhea Ripley really is looking like she could end up being one of the all-time greatest. The crowd was so behind her. It was, and I love that shit about pro wrestling, man. We brought that up with Zelina Vega as well when she was, I guess it was in Puerto Rico, right?
Mm-hmm.
We Backlash. Brought this up that with bone. Zelina Vega, which by the way, we think Backlash should always be in Puerto Rico, even though it's
well,
not
this year,
next year.
It's in London, right?
Yeah, I think it's in London.
Oh, no, Paris. It's in London. Paris? It's either London or Paris.
Somewhere there in Europe. And you were able to see, like, she was emotional. She's trying to hide the emotion, but she was super emotional. She had her family in the front. She was in tears backstage with Byron Saxton post-match interview. It was, the whole thing was such a cool scene. It's a really good match. I mean, may have been the best match Nia Jax has ever been in. It was a great match. And Rhea's a massive star, man. So we're getting Rhea and Becky. And like both of us said, I think without question, Rhea's walking away. WrestleMania is still the champion.
It would be mind-blowing to me. She's minus 400 right now in BetOnline, by the way.
There you go.
You know what Bayley is?
Let me guess. Bayley is minus 1,000.
1,250. Minus 1,250. Wow.
What else do you have there? What else are the bets?
Well, for WWE, Cody is minus 700 to beat Roman, and Drew is minus 300 to beat Seth.
Okay.
I mean, there's no way. She just can't. And I think for many reasons. One, they're trying to build her in a massive star, so beating Becky is like her crowning moment as champion. Yep. And also that list that I read off to you, it's like you can't have her lose after not beating anybody. You can't say she's the most dominant woman in WWE for a year and have her not beat anybody. She's got to beat somebody that matters. And beating Becky Lynch, it matters. Whether I'm underwhelmed by the match or not, it matters in the grand scheme of like where she's going to go. And I think it leads to more feuds. I think her run with Judgment Day has got to be coming to an end soon. I think they got to let her just do her own thing.
Well, you notice we never see her and Dom on screen together anymore. Very rare.
Yeah, or with Judgment Day really at all over the last few months. I mean, maybe here and there backstage, but really not much. So, yeah, I think that's got to come to an end. Let her just – she's also – their heels, and everyone loves Rhea at this point. And on the Nia Jax thing, there's two things there, I think. Like, one is she's been great and she's done so much better. I also think like she had to main event Elimination Chamber or she had to be Rhea's opponent because like that, like, again, to the point of like Tiffany Stratton, like you're supposed to hate Tiffany Stratton. That crowd loved Tiffany Stratton. Like you didn't want to potentially have somebody that the crowd actually also liked at like, they have to hate Nia so much.
Rhea
look like, Nia, no matter where you go, she's so hateable, which is a perfect foil when you're going to Rhea's home country because there's like no chance there, right? So that, but it was good. It was a good, it was fun.
That was a great show. Love. I thought it was a great show. I really enjoyed it. It's how you got the day started, man, on a Saturday.
Yeah. Now, this new staple of Triple H, I mean, I think it's probably just because it was Rumble and then Chamber. You have the two big matches, but this new theme of only having three or four matches, but having 5-hour shows. Not sure how much I love it.
Okay, so you shared some stats that somebody on Reddit put out there. So read these here and let's go over it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this guy says there was a total of 1 hour and 50 minutes of wrestling on the show. The show, including the kickoff, was 4 hours and 30 minutes. And he said, imagine sitting there live in the crowd that long for 5 matches and a talk show, which Grayson Waller effect. Everything else was video packages, Peacock ads, and Australian tourism endorsements, which there were a lot of. There were 55 minutes between the end of the Judgment Day, Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne match and the opening bell of the Men's Elimination Chamber. And the Grayson Waller effect was 22 minutes long, which is a long talking segment for.
Because that was sandwiched in between what you just said, right?
Yep. No. That was before. That was before the tag match.
So how was there 55 minutes? So with video packages and then everybody's entrance?
Probably. Yeah. It said before the bell.
Yeah.
So, by the way, before we get into this, can I also point out one thing we skipped from Grayson Waller effect?
Mm-hmm.
Him in Theory. Turning on, you know, somebody's turning on somebody there, right? You could see how when Austin Theory took the mic and started doing the Rock's bit, you could see how angry Grayson Waller was getting that he was taking the spotlight.
Well, and Grayson wasn't real interested in helping Austin Theory.
And he didn't help him either, right? That could be like a WrestleMania pre-show match, by the way.
Okay.
I could see those two. I love Grayson Waller and the crowd loved Grayson Waller. But anyways.
Well, of course. So let me give you a couple things with those numbers that you threw out there, which I think are kind of bullshit.
Okay.
The first one, calling the show 4.5 hours for the people sitting there, if you're including the kickoff, is bullshit. That's like saying that the Miami Heat game was 3.5 hours if you include Heat Live and Heat Post Game. Like, what the fuck are we doing there? You don't need to be in the building during the kickoff show. It's a television show, the kickoff.
But he's including that there was a title match on the kickoff show.
All right. I that's bullshit. Because
if you take the kickoff show and that match out, then there's less wrestling time.
But how long was that wrestling match during the kickoff? 12 minutes, maybe?
Probably. Yeah. Right.
All right. So that's bullshit. Putting another hour that you were sitting in that building. That's nonsense to me. The second part, you know, the Grayson Waller effect being 22 minutes. It's a show. You're there for a show. And the Grayson Waller effect is part of the show.
I sort of agree with what you're saying there. However, the idea of pay-per-views, of be premium live events, is that you build to big matches. Grayson Waller effect is a Raw SmackDown segment.
They would not have had Grayson Waller effect if it was not in Australia. That's number one. All right.
Right. That's the whole
thing. They had Grayson Waller effect, and it's not like his guest was Tamina Snuka. It was Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes.
I understand that. But couldn't you have done that on the pre-show and not had a women's tag title match or also? Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, I get it. However, look, the 4.5 hour thing is bullshit, but it was 3.5 hours for 4 matches. That's a long show, man. It's a long show. 3 hours is what a pay-per-view used to be. And there used to be like 8 matches. Mm-hmm. And I know they're letting it breathe. And that's why I said it's probably just for these last two, because Royal Rumble, each Royal Rumble match is an hour. And then Elimination Chamber, each match is an hour. So, you know, you're going to let those matches breathe. So I don't think it's always going to be like that. But it is 3.5 hours for 4 matches. It's a pretty long time.
Also,
and I know it's their time. We're not on our time. But if you are a person who woke up at 5 a.m, 3.5 hours is a long match or long show to watch for 4 matches. And also, for the main event, you know, Rhea Ripley's incredible. But like, 4 matches, including a main event with Nia Jax.
Chamber matches, though, that's 12 participants. That's 12 entrances with a very long runway.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I would say every entrance was at least 3 minutes. That right there, that's 36 minutes then of entrances.
And here's the thing. This is one guy. No one. This is probably an AEW fan, if I'm being honest. And I saw this was like retweeted by another guy who's always going off about how good AEW is. So this is like the whole tribalism thing, like trying to show why one company's better than the other, whatever. But I mentioned this to you before we started, you know, the show today. What I think this actually is just sort of a testament to how hot WWE is right now, that they could put on a 3.5 hour pay-per-view with 4 matches that's main evented by Nia Jax at 5 a.m. And everyone's like, great show.
It's a great
WWE's show. Awesome. You know, like, yep. I mean, I think there's some people who are underwhelmed by the predictability, but if you can get past that, then it was a fine show and it set up everything for WrestleMania. That is, I will say, the men's chamber, the ending I thought was a little overbooked, that they had 2 people somehow get back into the chamber to interfere. The whole idea is that it keeps everyone in.
But the door's open. They're letting people out and they're eliminated.
I know you got to set up everything for Mania, and that's what they were doing there. Like, they're starting those stories, but 2 different times in the match. AJ Styles flew 30 hours to not let LA Knight win that match. That's dedication. That's
dedication.
And isn't he... From what it seems like on Twitter, is AJ Styles a flat earther? Is that one of his things? Because everyone's like, isn't he going to fall off, you know, the side if he tries to go to Australia? But it was fine. It was long. And it probably wouldn't have been as long if it was at 8 o'clock at night. But waking up at 5:30 a.m. and then watching 3.5 hours is a lot. It's a lot.
We got to do this fast now because I'm on ESPN tonight, but I want to hear what we got on tap for AEW Revolution next weekend, right?
Yep. 9 matches right now.
Ooh. All right. So we just got done talking about how long the show was. Go ahead. Keep going.
Well, this is, you know, AEW. These are marathons.
Nine matches.
But they... All right. So we have a Meat Madness match.
Oh, 2 big guys. Who we got then?
3. and I think maybe a fourth they're going to maybe announce this week. Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Lance Archer.
Okay.
Now, can I say...
Who could be the fourth?
I don't know. I have no idea. But right now, let me pull this up. Wardlow is a minus 500 favorite.
Yeah, Wardlow needs some kind of win here, it sounds like.
But I will point out, like, to all of the, you know, even the wrestlers in AEW and Tony Khan and all the fans who say AEW's for real wrestling, Meat Madness sounds like something prime Vince McMahon would book. So, you know, wrestling's wrestling, people. You know, it's all, FTR versus Blackpool Combat Club, Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli. They had a match this past week on Dynamite that went to a time limit draw. They've been feuding a little bit, so now they're going to finish it at Revolution. Christian Cage versus Daniel Garcia for the TNT title.
Okay. I saw that segment the other day where Christian Cage said he's now Daniel Garcia's father because his father's dead.
His father's dead.
That's always going to make me laugh. Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, wouldn't be shocked if Daniel Garcia wins this match. And there's two, I think there's two outcomes here. I think one way or the other, I think Edge is, you know, did you even know Edge is injured?
I did actually. Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. Cause I wasn't aware of that until earlier this week. But the prevailing thought is he will interfere in some way in this match.
Okay.
There's some people saying Edge comes back and joins the patriarchy.
Okay.
Joins with Christian, which would be interesting.
Okay.
Will Ospreay, Konosuke, Takeshita. Mm-hmm. By the way, we talked about this last week. Remember I was saying, why the hell are they fighting each other? Aren't they both in the Don Callis family? Will Ospreay is in the Don Callis family. And apparently the week before, Don Callis cut a promo saying, nobody wants to fight my family. So I looked inward and I asked Will Ospreay to fight.
Okay. All right.
So
they explained it then. Okay.
I have a feeling, if I had to guess, having not watched a ton of AEW recently, they're gonna turn on Ospreay and he is gonna take over the Kenny Omega role in the company.
Yeah, maybe.
Because everyone loves him. Like I don't see people really booing Will Ospreay.
Yeah. Okay.
Bryan Danielson, Eddie Kingston for the Continental, all three of his titles, Crown Championship.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, I hate that. I think it's bullshit.
This story is actually pretty good. It's just, again, it's one of those things where, like, if you're not a hardcore AEW fan,
many titles.
It's also just hard to, like, they have not done a good job of, I don't think, making Eddie Kingston into what as good as he could be, like, in terms of, like, star power. I think he has, like, the ability to, like, get other casual fans. I just don't know that they've put him in a position. So I think if somebody's like, oh, Daniel Bryan's fighting this weekend, who's he fighting? They see Eddie Kingston, they're like, what's this guy?
Yeah.
But the one thing is, if Eddie Kingston wins, Bryan Danielson has to shake his hand.
Oh, all right.
Because he doesn't respect Eddie Kingston. He thinks he's a waste of potential. Waste of potential. Right. Doesn't like him.
All right. Big stakes.
Okay. Orange Cassidy versus Roderick Strong for the AEW International Championship.
All right. Roderick Strong's going to win.
You think so? Well, sure. All right. Can I? Sorry. I just got to point out another thing. I did watch Dynamite this week. I am trying to pay attention because we have this show coming up. Am I mistaken? Wasn't the whole purpose of the Bang Bang Scissor Gang to make a super group to fight against this Adam Cole group?
Yeah, but Adam Cole's not healthy, I guess, so.
Right, I know, but like the whole idea was we were going to protect ourselves from this group, but I don't even know if they interact with that group anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that story.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Tony Storm versus Deonna Purrazzo for the women's title.
Yep. I like it.
Got to be Tony Storm.
I would think so. Yep.
So this match, I don't know what's happening here yet, and I don't think anybody does. Hangman, Samoa Joe, and Swerve in a triple threat. Hangman got hurt apparently this week. But
yeah.
Maybe it's a storyline.
No, like, I think it was real.
No, most people are now saying that they think it's a storyline and that something's going to happen this week on Dynamite, and they're going to explain what's going on.
All right, we'll see then.
But like Meltzer was saying that it's like a storyline because they want the match to just be Swerve and Joe. But then some people are saying he's really hurt, but no announcement's been made yet.
All right.
I tell you what, if he's really hurt, this company is just doomed. They just can't win. I mean, they can't win. Everything about them is cursed. Anytime they have something good going, somebody gets hurt and it just goes away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy. And then I'm assuming this will be the main event, Sting's final match, his retirement match, Sting and Darby versus Matthew and Nicholas Jackson.
And we're clearly getting the Ric Flair turn. I mean, that's in the
Did you see what happened on Dynamite this week?
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually think there's a chance that they're making it seem like he's going to turn and then he's actually not going to turn. And that's going to be the big thing.
Okay. Maybe.
Like they're trying
to. I think Ric Flair is going to be a piece of shit. I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's always
and
what's going to
Matthew and Nicholas win the titles and Sting's. Yeah. I mean, that would be
I definitely think the Young Bucks are winning. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be the way, the old school way of going out, right? You got to go out on your back.
Yep.
That's what it is. Yep. So that's the 9-hour AEW pay-per-view we have this weekend.
I'll watch. What else am I doing? I'll watch. All right, Joy, I got to get out of here, man, because I got to get on ESPN. I will say real quick, though, for people who are watching, I'll let you finish, but I will say for people who are watching, I am on ESPN Radio tonight, 8 p.m. to midnight, so you should watch. You should listen, and we're going to do a lot of fun stuff. Go ahead.
Here, I'll just do Big Dirt all at once. I had four quick hits that I was going to throw at you because there were some. It was a big week in non-AEW and WWE wrestling.
Okay.
Right? Nick Nemeth, formerly known as Dolph Ziggler, is now the IWGP International Champion, I think is what they call it. He beat David Finlay.
Okay.
At New Japan New Beginning. Matt Riddle beat Tanahashi. He is now the New Japan Television Champion.
Yep.
And Okada wrestled his last match for New Japan and did an interview either today or yesterday where he said, I'm never going back to New Japan, which is pretty interesting. Tama Tonga quietly also wrestled his last match, who original Bullet Club member, Gorillas of Destiny, one of the best tag teams ever in New Japan. And then Mustafa Ali won the X Division title in TNA.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
A lot of titles going to former WWE people. In other companies this week.
Former leader of Retribution.
Right. Oh, and also they played another Jack Perry scapegoat vignette at New Japan.
I like that.
Can I tell you, I love the story. I think they're a little late. Because the whole thing is that he's the scapegoat for the CM Punk thing, right?
Yeah.
Does anybody even care about that anymore? Like,
I don't know.
He got fired 6 months ago. He debuted in WWE. He got hurt.
He's gone now again.
Like, I don't think anybody in I don't think AEW fans even really care that much anymore.
I don't know.
It's a little late for, it seems like it's a great gimmick. It just seems like maybe it passed its moment because Punk's, everybody's happy with Punk, right?
Right. All right. Good job, Joey. That's our episode for this week. We'll certainly be back with you next week. And is Revolution Saturday or Sunday night?
I believe they usually do. It's Sunday, March
5th. Yeah, it's Sunday. I was hoping it was Saturday. All right. Yeah. Either way, great job, Joey. We love pro wrestling. Tell all your fans we'll talk to them next week. Go ahead.
We'll talk to you guys. Oh, sorry. Talk to you guys next week. Throat got a little dry there, so that's all I got.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Thanks for hanging out again. Make sure you like, you rate, you comment, you do all that good stuff. And we'll talk to you next week on another edition of It's Still Real to Me. See ya!